Do you want something more? I mean, more meaningful moments, opportunities, deeper relationships, and memorable experiences. Do you want to make a difference? If you said yes to any of that, a career in real estate could be the opportunity you're looking for. Guiding people through one of the most important decisions they ever make, the purchase or sale of their home, could be both rewarding and lucrative for you. Exit Realty's revolutionary compensation model, training, and technology provide you with the tools and resources you need to start and build your successful real estate career. Call Exit Realty Low Country Group today at 843-619-3005. That is 843-619-3005, or visit join.exitlowcountry.com and make your exit today. Good morning, and great morning, guys, to you. Welcome to another fabulous episode of Exit Strategies Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, Corwin J. Millett, broker and owner of Exit Realty, Low Country Group, in beautiful North Charleston, South Carolina. Guys, look, we've been doing it. We've been having a great time at it. I want to give a couple of shout outs to people that have been touching me on the shoulder and saying, Corwin, look, I love what you guys are doing. Y'all keep going. So I want to give a shout out to those people, those listeners around our local area, across the state, city of North Charleston. You guys rock. We've been doing a lot of things in our community and working to make an impact. And this show is a part of it. I tell people all the time, this is my baby. And it's how I give back. So with that, I don't want you to lose sight of this. One, what our mission here. Our mission here at Exit Strategy Radio Show is very simple. That is to empower our community through financial literacy and real estate education. We legacy building. That is what we do. We encourage people. We advocate for people. We seek to inspire people and motivate people to do just those things. So guys, y'all keep listening. Y'all keep giving that feedback. And y'all tell a neighbor about it. Look here, as a pastor like to say in the church, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, and tell them to tune in. We'd love that as well. All right. So guys, look, we've been doing some great things here on the show. In my opinion, we've been bringing in the best guests. We've been going out and getting, we've been searching, we've been pulling coattails, and we've been asking and begging people, hey, come share your wealth of knowledge with our listeners. We want to motivate, inspire, encourage, empower, and every other adjective that you can think of to make someone better. That's what we want to do. So today is no different, guys. We have another today with us than Mick Hyman. You're going to love this, listeners. He is a wealth manager. Mick is that person that you need to talk to to manage it, because you go get this money and then you don't know what to do with it. So Mick is actually a very seasoned wealth manager. He's an author and he's so many other things, and we're going to let him tell us about it. So Mick, thank you so much for being on the show today. Please welcome to Exit Strategies Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Corwin. And I'm excited to be on your show. I've listened to your show and I just think I would be a little bit of a different fit here, but hopefully help on the side. And when you say wealth manager, some of the people's wealth that I've managed, it's been over 30 years. And it didn't start as a huge pie. It started as a smaller pie. And so some of those lessons that I learned personally, and of course, I learned working with people, I think works whether you're working with real estate or you're balancing your assets. I think the lessons can apply to all types of investments.
If you don't mind, so one high-level overview, who you are, company, all that stuff, and what got you into this arena?
As far as my company, I have a very small boutique little company. It's all me. It's just, I can't blame any other person when they pick a bad stock or they mess up on the books. It's all me. And I've really enjoyed working with individuals. I started out with a small company in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then ended up working for an institutional company in Louisville, Kentucky, that were managing funds for union plans, for endowments that were sometimes in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And then when I moved back out to California, I thought, I like helping individuals. That's my main job. But then over time, I thought, there's some of the lessons I learned early in my career and throughout that I really wanted to pass on. And so that led to writing the book called Mellow Your Money. because what I've seen is people get too excited about every headline, every pronouncement of somebody, some economist worrying about this or that. And it's not about that. It's about the long term. And I think that probably applies to real estate or stock investments. But too often we get so excited about short-term emotions and we all feel them. We think we're different, but we all share the hopes and fear and greed and competition. And this is part of all of us. And I thought, if I could pass on one message, which is chill out a little bit, mellow out. It doesn't mean don't work hard, but don't get excited about every little headline.
When I read your book title, Mellow Your Money, it was engaging. So let me start with that, because it definitely got my attention. And I immediately thought to myself, we used to hear people tell you, don't harsh my mellow, man. But on the other side of that, what some of the conversations that we've been having and I've been having in other rooms and other arenas is about our attitudes and things towards money. But I want to touch on that, but I want to bring this thing, if you will, full circle to your money gets high. Your money gets high on what's going on in the stock market, the volatility, what the media says, all these things that alarm people into making decisions that they shouldn't make because they're just following this blip, if you will, in what's going on in the economy. Mellow your money, to me, says to someone, oh, let's keep this thing calm and easy. Is that about right?
That is right. And I think the main way to do that is just keep focus with your goals. What is your goal? And most of the time, the things that are being talked about by these economists or these people who are hitting on the daily shows every day are not about your goals. And so the market might head south or run up. And of course, so many people get excited by, they'll hear somebody made thousands of dollars on cryptocurrency or whatever. In the 90s, it was Beanie Babies. So there's always the next thing to get you distracted from your main emphasis. If it's building, if it's real estate, focus on what it is that you want to do longer term and don't get the short-term emotions caught up. We all can feel it. You can't have the pandemic and have all of us share the pain, the surprise of what happened there. But if we can focus on what is our objective, is it really hurting what we're doing? And then try to put money into a less emotional pocket. That's really the emphasis of what I'm trying to pass on to people.
There's a mindset, and I think you referenced it as a psychology, if you will, of money. What drives people to make the decisions that they make. I've talked about this with some financial literacy coaches and counselors that's in that arena. You're at a higher level with it, meaning for the person who just got to figure out initially how I can get my budget in order, that is the person that's talking to the literacy coach, how to get my things in order and make sure I understand how money works. You're the person that exercises it. We know how it works. You work it out. You take the money and grow it. You manage it. Oh, let's put some of it here. Let's put this percentage here and do all those things. But there's still a psychology with money. So if you don't mind, let's touch on that.
I would think it's important to even get in touch with that if it's your first $100, your first $500 that you're putting in the market. I was thinking that one of my clients was a third grade teacher. Now, she learned early on from her mom, roll quarters. She even saved money from her lunch money. There's another part of this is most people don't get wealthy necessarily from their job. It's from their savings. Of course, we see some of these athletes making millions of dollars. But in the end, if they spend more than they're making, they're not going to have anything left. And so whether we're starting out and we're putting, maybe it's $10 a week away, maybe it's $100. It's important to be in touch with that mentality of saving. And then the other thing is, when you are even beginning to invest, I think emotionally, if you lose the first $500, you say, oh, forget this. I'll never do this again. So it's important to have an idea of what are the risks and what, you know, whatever level you're investing. I think it is important to be in touch with what is the surprise that could hurt you So when it does happen, invariably it does. We all know that out of the blue, some surprise will happen and boosh, whether it's some of my clients with a lot of money or some that are just starting out, that surprise, when it happens, you want to have at least some emotional preparation that it's okay. I'm okay. I didn't take more risk than I could.
That's interesting. For our listeners, guys, I want you all to see this from a bigger picture perspective. Let's not look at this isolated. Let's look at a holistic picture and let's get an understanding fundamentally of not only the decisions that we make, but why we make them. And then in turn, let that guide us to this next level. Because once we figure that piece out and then go over here to really start to amplify. And one of the things that you said, Mick, is a repeat of things I've heard for years and years. Most people think they can work themselves to wealth. Nah, you're not working yourself to wealth. You can work yourself to death, but you ain't gonna work yourself to wealth.
Yes.
Wealth is created by leverage. Most people that build wealth, build it fundamentally, like you said, saving and then investing. Because it ain't just the savings, it's the investment of it. And the management piece, again, is what you get over to. What got you into this realm and what sustains you in it? Meaning, I'm doing this because of this and I keep doing it because of this.
It's funny. This was an internship out of college that I took. And if you can imagine, it was 1980, which was a period of time where inflation was roaring. You think we have inflation now? Mm-hmm. Back then, inflation was like at 15%. And you talk about real estate. That was about real estate and oil were about the only ways you could have made any money investing in the 70s because of roaring inflation. Of course, if you're just a home buyer, it was terrible. Your mortgage rate was 12, 14%. And so you really had to take some risk, but it was real estate. It was hard assets that were making money. So I got this job in the stock market business and people looked at me like, oh my God, what are you thinking, man? This is terrible. And who knew that this would be the beginning of a great run, a great bull market in stocks? And of course, I looked at this, I read about some of the great traders back in the 20s, and I thought, that's going to be me. I'm going to make money trading and everything else. And what I learned is, first of all, there are people who can trade and make money. I'm not kidding you. Mm-hmm. But that's not me. When you look at my psychology, what I loved were helping people, helping individuals who were at the firm. My first client was a 80-year-old lady, and she was the most eccentric, fun person. And she said, you're coming over to my retirement home every week on Monday, and we're going to write checks and give it away and just helping her out. This business is more than just investing. It's helping people. I love that part of the business. And over time, I realized her parents had bought her some stocks in the 30s. And imagine by 1980, even with the 70s not being good, they're such gains. You couldn't sell them because of the taxes. And so the funny thing was we were buying and selling in other accounts. Guess who outperformed everybody by doing nothing in the long run? It was my client Eloise. So we used to joke it was our theory of benign neglect. Of course, we weren't neglecting her, but sometimes we try to do too much. And I'm sure that's true in real estate too, is if you can take the longer term, doesn't mean sometimes you need to use the leverage. You can do it in many different ways. But the idea that you can take your time, be patient, take care of longer term. All of a sudden, through the 80s, those were some of the lessons I learned. And then on the personal side, I found that whole knowing yourself is so important. Over time, I found this is for me. And through it all, my dad and I had these amazing competitions growing up. And I had to learn it's not about competition all the time when you're in business. It's about helping people. It's about building something. Mm-hmm. And so as I worked through some of these issues with my dad, it just enriched my life, him too. And I realized that it's not all about competition. It doesn't mean that there isn't that part of our life. But dealing with some of these emotions we all have in common can lead to great success.
What we do fundamentally, if our listeners, you guys can envision a storefront, the customer, the person outside the door, the person that you're hopeful to come inside the door is what matters. You put the storefront there for the people outside the door. not for the door next door or the door across the street, but for the people that's outside the door to give them whatever it is, whatever service, whatever assistance, whatever it is that they desire, whatever material goods, et cetera, to be able to help someone. And I say this all the time that I believe that God has given us all a life of service. And within our service is our ministry. And you minister, you help people. But we are oftentimes looking, saying, and we take one verse and we believe that money is not good. Money is necessary. There's things related to that's not good. Don't get me wrong, but that's not it. So that's the psychology that sometimes within certain communities that there's a struggle. So we view wealth as being no evil, but yet and still we desire to have the things that are sometimes associated with wealth. Imagine that. But there's a psychology, like you said, and like you speak on, of people of means and people of wealth.
And I think that you're right. And I've seen that with some of my clients, even that there's sometimes with people with wealth, there's a guilt. And then people that don't have wealth, there's a, is this a good thing or not? Because you see people with wealth that are handling it so poorly, you think, I don't want to get into that. And I guess in the end, for me, it's finding balance. It's a funny thing. If you are totally healthy, but have a sore toe or a sore tooth, you're not feeling good. I would compare that to people who don't want to think about money all the time necessarily. And I'm not saying they have to. But if you ignore it completely, it's going to be like that sore tooth. But if you're working and you don't have a lot, but pay yourself first, put a little bit away, and then don't think about it. It can be an overwhelming thing if you think, oh my God, I have to think about money all the time. A little bit away from your paycheck and save that and have some balance. That's probably the message I would pass on to people with wealth or people without.
And that makes perfect sense. Because that's where people should start. So matter of fact, Nick, so I'm looking up and I'm realizing, man, we have not connected people to you. We haven't given the bridge yet. I need people to get to you. So we need to put this bridge down so people can reach you. How can people reach out to you? Where do they contact you?
I think that the best is by the website I just created with my book. It's www.mellowyourmoney.com. And I tried to write the book to everybody. In other words, it focuses on my stories. It's not a how-to book. It's not how to make money in stocks or how to make money necessarily in real estate or anything else. It's more how to learn from your experience, because that's how I learn things. You can take a lot of how-to things and say, oh, that those would be the ways to do it. But if you don't deal with your own experience or your own lessons that are in your life, I don't think you pay attention to those how-to at the key moments. And so anyway, but email me. It's got my number, my contact information. I'd love to talk to anybody. My mission right now is helping people. And I think given the craziness that we have every day in these 24-hour news cycles, I think to chill out, that's my main message. And I think some of the work you do, Corwin, is the different people you've had on your show, this is the way to learn. It's not about worrying about every little headline. It's paying attention to a lot of the people you're bringing on to help the basics. Because after that, you don't have to pay attention all the time.
That's very true. So Mick, we're quickly approaching the end of today's show, but I have this question that I ask many of our guests, and I'm going to ask it of you. I call it my mic drop question. It is a hindsight question, because we oftentimes hear hindsight is 20/20. So if there's something that you have learned over these years that if you would have known that quote unquote way back yonder when, that would have completely changed your trajectory and where you are today, meaning catapulted you to where you are now or beyond, what is that thing?
I think as I think about it, it's your experiences, my experiences. That's my education. That's the tuition payment. Those experiences are really painful. But if I would have looked at them as this is your tuition, this is how you're going to learn and this is how you're going to grow, I think I would have learned a lot of lessons a lot quicker with a lot less pain. The annex to that is it's not going to stop. I think people will probably look at you and say, oh my gosh, he knows so much. He's passing on so much. My dad is 92. He looks like a wise guy and he's still learning lessons. It never stops. We're going to keep getting these lessons and keep growing. And to me, if I could have looked at life like that back a long time ago, earlier, I think it would have helped me a lot. And I'd like to pass that on to other people.
I like that, because it really is just that. All the learning, everything that you go through, whether it's the triumphs or the failures, the trials, if you will, or the tribulations, they're all part of the tuition for success. That's awesome. I love that. I really do. So Mick, look, we've had a great show, man. I appreciate you so much being on, being a part of the Exit Strategies Radio Show family. Thank you again so much for giving up your time today and being here with us.
Thank you so much, Corwin. I really enjoyed it. You do a great, wonderful thing for people, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Thank you so much. So for our listeners, guys, look, hey, y'all know what, you know how this thing go. Y'all know how I feel. Y'all know what I say. I always put those two things together, and I say it to you this way, which is I love you. I love you. I love you. And we're going to see you guys out there in those streets.